Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Get started on your own awesome-looking website. Yes, and get 10% off. Go to wix.com/podcast. That's wix.com/podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a homemade Ouija board brings more questions than answers. A phantom cat crying out late in the night confuses and startles a family. Also, a ghostly encounter ends with one woman asking, "Is that you floating above me on the ceiling?" Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like the program, keep us on the air, become an EPP Extra Podcast person, sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Just turning your microphone up. Talk again.
Can you hear me?
I can. I don't know. There we go. I think better.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Good.
I don't know why it was so... I don't know. Maybe I bumped something in here. I'm looking forward to the episode today. The one I did yesterday involved mannequins.
Oh, fun.
Coming to life late at night, which is always an interesting concept. But homemade Ouija boards are always fun stories, too. Mm-hmm. So we got some of those today. Anything exciting and new you'd like to share with the audience?
I can't think of anything exciting and new.
Nothing exciting? No. Okay.
Well. Plano boring me.
There you go. All right, everybody. That's the Jenny update. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Let's go to our first letter. It says, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Laura. I'm from Ireland and I've had many experiences with the paranormal." Let me get my music started here. Not that one. There we go. Many experiences with the paranormal, one of which involved a Ouija board. And that's the story I'll be telling and the events that have occurred after it. So I was in a mobile home with my family, and behind our mobile home is a tennis court and a medium-sized wooden cabin. There wasn't much to do in that cabin. Just a few couches, ping pong table, but that was about it. One day I was talking with my dad about the paranormal and told him my previous experiences, and he told me that I might be a medium or sensitive. I didn't really know, but I asked him about the spirit boards and he told me never to play with it or to make one. So my curiosity got the better of me, so I found a decent sized piece of cardboard and drew the letters yes and no, goodbye, etc. Then my slightly younger cousins joined me and we went to the cabin. There were five of us, including myself, in total, and just as I placed the board down, my finger got caught and I was cut by the card. It was a pretty nasty paper cut too. Still, I have the scar on my finger. I had a small shot glass for a planchette and asked the board if there was anyone there or not. My cousin sat on the couches, so I was the only one playing, which was kind of dumb of an idea on my part. But anyway, it moved to yes. My hand felt like it was being pulled by something, and my finger only hovered above the planchette. I asked a few more questions, and it had answered it truthfully, but my cousin still didn't believe. So I asked a very personal question no one knew. And the glass started to circle the board, and then it stopped. And I asked it one more question. "What is your name?" Nothing. It didn't move or anything. So I decided to shove it under the couch and smash the glass into smithereens. And yes, I should have destroyed the board. But later that night, out in the family, we had a big bonfire. I wanted to get rid of it. So I went back to the cabin, and the board was behind the exact place I left it. So I folded it up, ran back to the fire, and asked if I could throw it in. They said sure, and I did. As I threw the board in, the board is not affected by the flames. It was cardboard. I started to freak out a little. My uncle poured some more gas into the pit, and I heard a scream. It's very silent, though, almost like a whisper. I don't know. I looked around to see if anyone noticed or not, and my dad seemed to look around behind him, and I knew he heard it, too. That morning, I went to go check the pit, and the board was left untouched except for small pieces of the board that were still sitting there, unburned. I felt very sick to my stomach at this point, so that was the experience I had with a homemade spirit board. I'll never make one. They're more dangerous than any normal spirit board. Thank you for reading. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now. Love it very much. Have a fabulous day. There you go.
Do you think if you're sensitive and you mess with a spirit board or a Ouija board that you're more likely to have something come through?
I don't know if it's you're more likely to have something come through or you're just going to sense it more if it does. And does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of sensing, though, because it's trying to communicate with you.
Sure. I mean, but I think sometimes it can be very silent. Nobody's in not even so much that the planchette's being moved around. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're opening that window and maybe more things are coming through than the average non-sensitive person would be aware of.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure. That makes sense.
So I could see if you're more sensitive, I think the odds are there. But I think, you know, too, I mean, it just depends on what's wanting to get through the board. If it knows that, hey, there's someone over here that is more sensitive, and I'm not saying something evil that's coming through, but I think if it knows that there's a person with a brighter light over there, they may choose to use that opportunity to come across and come through than otherwise.
Okay.
So that's all my advice for never, ever using one successfully. Only tried it that one time when I was a kid and nothing ever happened. So who knows? Maybe a whole bunch of shit came through because nothing worked. There's the odd morbid curiosity that I have, and I'm never going to do it, but it is that weird wondering, like, well, what does that feel like when the planchette's actually moving on its own and nobody else is doing it? I suppose it could be the same as someone else pulling it along and them not telling you. Probably the same feeling, but it's, you know, just knowing and believing that no one else is doing it, especially because quite often, you know, people do that together, the Ouija board. But sometimes you get the stories of someone that's just using it by themselves. And it's moving around. I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
Like that to me would be the ultimate, oh my God, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
For example, the dog, that crackling you hear in the background, not an EVP. He's trying to make a spirit board with a water bottle right now and use it as a planchette. How's that working for you? You see what he wrote on his board? It just says bark.
Uh-huh.
And then it just kind of moves around. He's got a toy. Raccoon?
Yeah.
Was a raccoon?
Yeah.
And a water bottle in there. And of course, he's usually pretty quiet using it throughout the day until I turn the microphone on. Then it's crackle away.
He wants to be part of the show.
Yes, he does. He's a good boy.
Notice my dog is being silent on the chair. You would never even know he's here.
Yeah, but he did a round of shits a lot the other day on the couch. So
nothing compared to what your dog did in the garage.
That's true. That is true. I that was a joint effort.
No. I think piles were as big as bear.
Oh, we're talking about the poop sizes?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. The other day we decided to go away for the night, and we thought, okay, we're going to be gone for like literally about 15 hours or so. And, you know, they can use the potty in the garage real quick. We'll be right back. It's not a big deal. But I did pull some stuff out of the garage, like bikes and things that I didn't want to chew the tires up on. And I thought, okay, no big deal. Worst case, there's going to be a pile of poop and maybe a little pee over in the corner. Fine. No big deal. Oh my God. We get home and I open the garage door. First thing I do to go let them out. And there were some big cardboard boxes in there that I just needed to get rid of them. They're too big for the garbage guy to take. I got to go take them to the dump. And they've just been sitting off in the corner, you know, like appliance type boxes. And well, they're not there anymore. I don't even know how they did it, but they got them all knocked down and then shredded them like just to pieces. And any other random piece of trash or box that they could find, also, just shredded to pieces. You could not see the garage floor when we got home.
Looked like a tornado had gone through the garage.
It really did. And they didn't damage anything of value, and thank goodness. But they did happen to find, and this was my fault, their food is normally in these giant Tupperware things that they Although I question if they could break into it now after seeing their handiwork. But there was some extra in a bag of food that was up, and somebody knocked that down. So then they kind of had a little buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we very much control how much they can get every day, so they're not being overfed. And oh my God.
Yeah.
I just wish we had a camera to watch that. That would just be a time lapse of them.
Yeah, it was insane, you know, and we were not gone that long,
No. But
we just didn't, you know, confine them because, you know, we were going to be gone longer than they're normally confined overnight.
Yeah.
And it was just like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So we learned they will eat cardboard and
party.
Crap cardboard.
Yeah. And they
so had- you cannot complain about the one time my dog pooped on the couch. It was one time.
Those were some pretty big poop piles.
They were huge.
That's what happens when he goes nuts at
your
the
dog's a horse.
Old country buffet. All right, back to the stories in just a second. First, got to thank our supporter today, Wix.com. You can get 10% off right now. You go to Wix.com/podcast. Wix is the service that allows you to create an awesome-looking website. Think about it. How is your website looking right now if you have one? Are you happy with it? Maybe you don't even have one, but you're going, I really need a website for my business or my blog or whatnot. And I want it to be great looking, but I don't have the knowledge to do it. Wix gives you that knowledge because you don't need all of the coding knowledge or the design knowledge or this or that. It all comes together for you in their easy to build website system. Yeah. Now, there's hundreds of templates you can choose from, or you can start from scratch if you're an advanced user. It's something for everybody. That's what's great about it. It's all optimized for SEO. It's like just it's plug and play, as they used to say. You're good to go. The most technologically advanced website building platform available is what they are. And it's always updated. So they are on top of everything. As things change, of course, online, so do they. So you keep your website up to date. It's looking beautiful. It's feeling good. People are taking you seriously because you have a good looking website. I've used it several times over the last couple of years with my other business where I help create radio and TV ads and marketing for some businesses. And I've used them to help create some websites for clients. And I absolutely love the interface. And it's so easy to use and then also pass like on to them to go, okay, I'm done. I've made it. Here's how easy it is for you to now update as need be. And these are folks who are not, you know, super tech savvy or anything like that. But I'm so confident when I use that interface that it's just you can pass it on to somebody who barely knows how to use a computer and they can handle it. It's that easy to use. And it goes as deep as you want. It can be as simple as you want, or you can dig in to all those features of it and really just go to town. I absolutely love it. Check it out for yourself and get 10% off. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast. Wix.com/podcast and get 10% off. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, this is two stories. One from my father who passed in 2006. He was born in 1918. When he was a young man, he was hired by a person for a job as a day laborer. They told him that they couldn't tolerate a closed room in their house anymore and wanted him to brick up the windows and seal the house up that he was working on. He said he couldn't figure out why they didn't just lock it up and forget it, but it was a disturbing room. It was summer, June, he said, and it was hot, but not the room. It was cold, prickly, in his words, and unpleasant. It made the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. He was very pragmatic, not given to flights of fancy. And the thermometers that they had in the house in the 1930s, I calculate, indicated the room was as hot as the rest of the house when they brought him into the room. But it was cold and very unsettling, nonetheless. He pulled the windows and door frames off, bricked it up, as they requested, but they later abandoned the house and built a new one on a different site later. Though he thought it might have been because the original house was in an inconvenient site on their land, it was, he said, a fairly well-known family in Idaho. The second incident was mine, not alarming, but confusing for a while. We rescue stray abandoned cats, some of which die of injuries or are in very bad condition when we catch them. We also try to find them homes. This one happened in the winter of this year. We had several cats in cages which were ill or injured. When a little past midnight, I woke to a cat's cry. It was panicked, very confused. If you're around cats a lot, you learn to differentiate the way they communicate. You can differentiate when they cry, when it's an aggression or panic, and this was definitely a panic. I thought first it was our big orange cat, Val, having a conflict with the outside cats and went to let him back into the house. The cry was just on the other side of our front door. Almost sounded as though the cat was between the door and the screen door there. So I opted to let Val in. There was no one there, and I opened the screen door and looked out to see if Val was on the front porch. Nothing was there, so I left the main door open and came back in. Val and Vu, our other resident cat, were lying on the love seat across the room and looking at me as though I was out of my mind. It's cold outside, after all. Behind me, as I took them in, I heard the screen door go tink. A word about the door. The screen is cut on the lower portion to allow my cats to go in and out in the summer, without hopefully letting too many flies in. When an animal goes in or out, it makes that noise if they calculate the jump badly. I looked out, but there was nothing on the porch. My usual cats were across the room. It was a mystery to me. When the sun came up, I noted one of our new strays had died during the night. I wonder if the animal's spirit was confused as to where it was and had no other explanation. What could actually have made that noise? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, cats are funny. I feel like it's hard to tell the difference between different cat meows to know which cat was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder than like telling the difference between different dog barks.
I think if you had 10 cats, you would get better at that.
You think so?
Yeah, we should try it.
The most I've ever had when I was growing up is we had 3, and I couldn't tell them apart. No, we did have one cat that would lay in the hallway and literally sing and just make these really long, drawn out, not howls, but
yeah,
just kind of weird. Yeah, it would sing.
Yeah, and it's talking.
It was the only cat that would do that. The rest of them, they just were pretty quiet. So
there's an app for that now.
What?
Where you can hold it up to the cat and it'll tell you what the cat's saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like Ghost Radar. It's really accurate.
I'm sure.
But no, I've only had one cat at a time, but my aunts and all that had cats, and I could always, there was some that had like lower meows. This one's like, oh, literally what it sounded like. Go over there. Like, what the hell? It's like,
it's like the Barry White cat.
It was really strange. He wore a lot of leather. It was just the strangest cat in the world. But there's different tones.
Okay.
Especially to cats that wear leather. There you go. What? What do you want, old dog?
Keeps nosing the board. I bet you that's how the settings got messed up.
I think he changed your mic processor settings. He's trying to make you sound, like, deeper. That's his goal over here. He's like, I'll mess with this over here. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. Well, the other part of that story, the bricking off of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about doing that to our room just for the hell of it?
No. You know me. I'm trying to get natural light into every space possible.
That's the ultimate home remodel room. And this room, we're just bricking off.
Yeah. No.
What would the reasoning be for that? I mean, other than like murder or something.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
it's a home tomb.
Unless you were trying to make it into a home theater room and you wanted to block out the light.
Well, I mean, it sounds like they're like literally shut the room off.
Yeah.
From everything else. It's like an in-house mausoleum.
That's weird.
You think that'll ever become a thing?
I don't know.
I could totally see that being a thing where people, you know, not letting go of things or people. and then eventually I don't know. It's a weird prediction of mine that I just kind of came to me, and it sounds pretty crazy. But, you know, I was talking about that the other day. It's totally acceptable to have an urn
mm-hmm.
in your home of a dead loved one. But It's not so acceptable to either bury your loved one in the backyard anymore or take it a step further. You have an in-house mausoleum. They never got cremated.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like in the credenza with the coffee
They're
bar.
They're not in a credenza.
They're like over there on top of the Keurig is mom. And somebody goes to like their reach and they think they're getting like a little like K-pod or whatever for K-cup for the Keurig. And shit.
That's not how that
works.
They
accidentally grabbed her nose off.
That's not how that works.
Put it into the...
Now, I doubt that in-home mausoleums will be a thing. But I'm betting... I could see family plots on land becoming more popular.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder about the in-home mausoleums.
I have no words.
I don't know. I wonder if anybody does that. I'm sure we'll get emails going, hey, look, this company does it. They also install in-house bowling alleys. Bowling alleys and mausoleums. Because it's got to be a fairly high-end thing. I would think it's not cheap to build a in-house mausoleum that's going to keep smells and everything else and gases in.
Yeah.
That's one I don't... Do they have ventilation systems at them? Like real, like mausoleums at the cemetery, those big giant buildings. Is there any ventilation that goes through those things, or is it just so sealed up that...
I think it's more in the preparation of the person going in.
Okay.
And they prepare them, I think, a certain way to where there's less likely chance that it's going to blow the door off, quite literally.
It's not like an upcharge where it's like, and for an extra $89.95, Gertrude here can have our deluxe spring and summer package where...
I don't even know what that is.
You get air conditioning in there for spring and summer so you don't cook too much. Yeah. And then we call it the don't blow the doors off package.
I don't want to talk about mausoleums anymore.
855-853-4802. Your number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Letter says, first off, I want to say how much I love the podcast. Proud EPP. It's great to hear other people's stories and not feel alone or crazy for having had experiences that cannot be explained. I chose a few of my stories to share with you guys, and I'll try to keep them short and to the point. When I was in high school, I lived in an older trailer with just my mom. We had a few experiences separately in that trailer. We later talked about, but at the time we kept it to ourselves. My mom had been lying in bed late at night and described hearing out of nowhere loud banging coming from her bathroom. She said it sounded like someone had picked up a hard-handled hairbrush and just started beating it against the countertops. A few days later, she heard me scream for her in the night. She ran to my room to find me fast asleep. When she asked if I was okay, she said, I asked, is that you that's floating above me on the ceiling? And she said, Mommy, no. And I just replied, oh, okay. I don't remember anything about it. I was fast asleep and have been known to have vivid dreams and full conversations with people while sleeping. I didn't think much of it, but if I had heard that banging a few nights previous, I would have been scared by it as well. From my experience in this trailer, one night I had a crazy vivid dream where the devil was trying to bargain with me for my soul. I was terrified, but just kept declining. He grew angrier with every failed attempt of me signing over my soul. I could see all around me fire and torture and carnage. He started promising money and long life. And when that didn't work, he started using threats. I started crying in the dream because I wasn't sure how long my resolve could last. I finally woke myself up and I'm lying in bed just trying to calm down from the dream. I feel something move by my feet. I felt the bed being pressed down on either side of my legs, and slowly the pressure moved up towards me as if something was crawling up the bed over the top of me. I threw off my blanket, jumped out of bed, and turned the light on. I looked all around the room and never saw anything. We had no pets at the time, no living other things other than me and my mom in that house. I had a lot of sleepless nights after that. Curious to hear your guys' thoughts. Thank you for listening.
I think sometimes stuff we dream is not a dream. So it makes you wonder what kind of thing was this, you know, that was in the room with her and made her feel like, I don't know.
to feel that scared. And
yeah.
Because at first you could just say, well, it was just a dream and it was very vivid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but then you wake up and shit's still going down. Yeah, that really, you know, makes you think, okay, God, there's something else going on here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, probably not the devil itself, but something that's trying to really scare.
The ghost of Dick Clark coming back to make a bargain with you on the $10,000 pyramid. That's how I view when the devil comes to bargain with you. It's like the $10,000 pyramid. You gotta get the words correct, and it's just Dick Clark.
You are so random.
I see a nod in your head.
No, you don't.
To that music.
I did not even nod a little bit.
You were like kind of chilling out.
I was
You were getting into it.
I was not.
I can, but people can't see you, so I can say that.
I know you can.
And they will have to kind
not
of
even
believe
a little
it
bit.
A little bit. There you go. Well, I don't know why I was thinking that. I was just, when she's talking about the devil bargaining for whatever reason in my head, I'm like, $10,000 pyramid. I should play that music. Like, that just sounds like it would be horrible. It's like this horrible dream. Suddenly, I could totally see in that dream bad 70s game show music playing in the background as you're trying to bargain with Satan.
Okay.
I think that would be in my dream. And it'd be like, make it stop! The music more than anything else.
But the music more than anything else. Okay.
It's like, yeah, you got fire and brimstone, but that music, that shit's got to go. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. This is a longer call I was anticipating that we would use, but talks of game shows went longer than expected, so let me go to a different caller here real quick. 855-853-4802, your phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
So my name is Andolyn, and I'm pretty young to be doing this kind of thing. I understand that, and a lot of people may have speculations because, oh, kids have overactive imaginations and imaginary friends, that's nothing to be worried about. But this particular story has not only affected me, but my parents, who are hard non-believers in the ghosts and the undead and such and such. I, however, on the other hand, other than my brother, mother, and father, and basically everybody else in my family, have always had a strong connection with these types of stories, and it keeps me from sleeping at night sometimes. So I just kind of wanted to share my story, and it means a lot to me that people will listen, at least hopefully, and I hope you'll have me on. So the story happened a few years ago, about 3-4 possibly, when we first moved into the house that we now live in. We live in a small village in Illinois, and beside my house is a graveyard that stretches all the way down a couple streets behind our house. My room is the closest to the graveyard, and I have a perfect view of it if I look left through my front window. And a couple years ago, like I said before, my brother, younger brother, started having, you know, started seeing people and talking to them. And one in particular that happened to show up a lot was a man who was short, fat, and bald, according to my brother. And he would always talk to them. We put up a place at dinner for them, made peanut butter and jelly for them every single time we had a meal at home. He wouldn't have it if we didn't. He would say that his imaginary friends thought that we were being disrespectful and rude to someone who we should consider family. And he would always make quote-unquote jokes with my dad. My brother could never, I don't think, quite get them right, but he would always try his best. So after a few months of this, my mom started asking him, my little brother, what his imaginary friend looked like. He described what I said, what I kind of explained before. Other than he said he had a bump on his head. And so my mother kind of felt like, I don't know what she said, that something kind of just possessed her to do what she did. She pulled him over to our china cabinet that I'm sitting in front of now and pointed at a man in the picture that we have on my mother's side. he's standing with my grandmother, and in this picture he's healthy, but before, from what my brother described, it was slightly different from what the picture looks like. My mother said, "Is this him?" And he said, "Yeah, that must be his brother or something, because this man is bald and he has a bump on his head." Well, before my grandfather had died, sadly, I never got to meet him. He died when my mother was 13. But before he died, he had lost all of his hair, and he had a bump on his head because he had a brain tumor. They were going to do surgery a few months prior to when he died, but it never happened because he refused to show up. He drank and smoked. No drugs, though. He was always super against it. My mom said that I got that from him. But after he died, no one on my mother's side was ever the same, especially not my great-grandmother, my grandma, or my mom. None of them were really the same, at least from my aunt's point of view. She never really had a connection with my grandfather, but she would always describe how everybody acted after he died as never really the same. Like, he took a part of each and every one of them when he left. Everyone was slightly colder, and after my mom had kids, they said everyone kind of just flew back into where they used to be, other than my grandma, of course. She never again really was the same. But my mom kind of just stopped talking because she just didn't understand. And she said, "Okay," and she sat my brother back down in the living room. And that was it. She didn't want to talk about it because neither my father or I had heard what had happened here in the kitchen. And it was scaring me because she wasn't talking to anyone. But it never really occurred to me until a couple weeks ago that any time my brother was talking or, you know, having a quote-unquote conversation with these people, my cat would always stare at the supposed pair in wherever they were at. He would follow them around or hiss at him. And whenever Dustin tried to pet him after having a conversation or tried to go pick him up, while he was having a conversation, the cat would hiss and swat at him. Because of this, we ended up getting the cat's claws removed. I didn't want it to happen, but it just did. He ended up getting scratched too many times. And to this day, my cat still stares into corners and in the ceiling or in places in the kitchen that me or my father are standing. Mostly he stares at my brother, like someone's beside him all the time. My brother's exactly like my mother, and I'm exactly like my father. But it never really occurred to me that it might have been something other than that. No one in my family believes in ghosts, again, other than I do, especially after this experience. My mom always shook it off, like maybe he had seen the photo before and his mind had internalized it, but my brother wasn't tall enough to see the picture in the china cabinet. He never has, and he hasn't even known up to that point that that was our grandfather. He didn't even know that that man had existed, and somehow in his mind, or somehow he had just happened to conjure this image of someone who looked exactly like my grandfather before he had died. And again, it doesn't help that we live by a cemetery, and the fact that every time I and my friends use a Ouija board in the house for fun, that it moves and talks. I could just be overspeculating it, but I never really feel like I'm alone, even now in this house, by myself. It's like something's there.
Thoughts?
I think that it probably was the grandfather, just because this little boy wouldn't have known probably the story of the grandfather passing away from the tumor if that was not something that they talked about.
Sure.
You know, it was very quiet, and it just, I think it's great that the mom put two and two together. It probably freaked her out, and that's probably why she went really quiet about it, but I'm betting that's what it was. Now, being that close to a cemetery or for whatever reason, there may be other things going on too, but I'm thinking that's honestly what that one is.
And I think it might be something that ends up being looked back upon later in life, or she's going to find out her mom maybe does believe a little bit more than the daughter is aware of. Mm-hmm. But the mom's like, let's not freak my children out.
Yeah.
And that may be what's going on there in that case. Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience with us here on the program. That's going to wrap up the episode for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com. To do that, $5 a month, get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.